We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, since he brought up the Warriors, Ray, let's get into this a little bit. I, like I said earlier in the show, you know, I haven't really gotten to get all of your takes on this stuff. And I know you're a man who likes a good sample size. And I feel like the 20-game mark is a good spot. We're a quarter of the way into the NBA season. The Warriors are 18 and damn two. And I'll tell you what, I think I was as high on this team as any single person coming into the season. And I only looked at the first 15 games at that time, and I had them 12-3. So I wasn't high enough on them. Are you buying the Warriors as the best in the NBA, Ray?
I would, except for one thing. I really do want to see these next two games against Phoenix, just to find out who is really the best team in basketball, because there is no third place.
Yeah.
And while we've, you know, kvetched a bit about the softness of the Warriors' early schedule, Phoenix's is not much more difficult. So I think this is going to be the first real sort of test of equals. I don't believe Brooklyn is an equal yet, because playing with half of James Harden and no Kyrie Irving at all means that they're a one-man team, and one-man teams do not survive in the modern NBA. So it's really down to those two teams for me right now. And until I see those two games, the only thing I'm really left to do is compare them to the other 18-2 teams that they've put together since 2015. And the only real difference, and this surprised me because I sort of had a view in my mind that the 16 team was extraordinarily better. The only difference between those two teams is that the Warriors play slower this year than either of those two teams, and they kick the ball around a little more. But everywhere else, they are standard elite, and they are almost identical in terms of shot selection, shot success, rebounding. I mean, all three of these teams have been number one, have been in the top six in rebounding. All three of these teams have been number one in assists after 20 games. They're remarkably similar, except for the one thing, which is they do commit more turnovers than those other two teams, which committed a lot of turnovers, and people complained about it then. But they are a lot like the other two teams. And while I'm willing to, you know, say they're not quite that yet, these two games are going to tell me a lot more than I thought they would about where these guys sit in terms of where they stand, not only against the rest of the league, but really in their recent history.
Yeah, and this is a really unique thing that is happening this week for the Warriors. It is probably as close to a playoff situation as you could create in the middle of December, or I guess it'll be the beginning of December, because you get the same team. And as Ray said, you know, you could say Brooklyn is the third best, but both Phoenix and the Warriors have beaten them recently, so they're clearly third. The top two teams in the NBA are the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors. And they're playing each other twice this week, and they're the only two games the Warriors have. So they really are going to have a chance to study Phoenix like they're in a playoff series with them. And I'm with you, Ray. Like, before the year, I noticed this back-to-back, and I thought that'll be interesting. But I did not expect it to be sort of an early season referendum on who the best team in the league is. I got to say, you know, someone asked the question on the text line, and if you want to jump in on the Warriors, 888-957-9570. 510 texter says, let's just say, for example, that the Warriors lose both games to the Phoenix Suns. Would you still feel as gung-ho about them as you did today? Now, look, obviously not quite as gung-ho because they would have just lost twice in a row. But I will say the Warriors clearly expect to improve as the year continues. Phoenix, you know, is really good. And I expect them to continue to be really good. But they don't have the built-in avenues for improvement that the Warriors do. So I'd still feel pretty gung-ho, I think.
I think the enticement of Klay Thompson sort of clouds everybody's thoughts as to who the Warriors are and what they can be, which is fine. But the thing that I find interesting about Phoenix is that they defend like hell too now.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, and it's not just against bad teams. I mean, they're keeping teams around 103, 104 points a game since this winning streak started. And well, that's not the Phoenix I remember. They are much stouter.
They're basically, it's the Phoenix you might remember from the playoffs, right? What they're doing is trying to force everyone into long twos. They have long, talented wing defenders who get up on the three-point line, and they have DeAndre Ayton and now JaVale McGee to an extent protecting the rim behind them, and they have done a really good job of forcing teams into long two-point jumpers. And coincidentally, the Warriors have done a better job than ever of avoiding those shots this season, and that's been part of why they've been so good, is so much of what they've done has been behind the three-point line or right up at the rim. So it's going to be a really interesting battle twice this week, tomorrow and Friday nights. 888-957-9570 if you want to talk Warriors. Dave in Fremont is up first. What's happening, Dave?
Oh, thanks for taking the call, guys. I think there's a little epidemic going on amongst the sports broadcasters when it comes to Warriors. I think you guys got the yeah, but. You know, the yeah, but they're got to beat the next team. So, as you guys were alluding to, defense is key. This is a totally different team based on the players not reaching foolishly in on the opponent and keeping their feet moving. We're really lucky. This is an amazing team. This is why Klay, too, and I love Klay, man, but I see what he's kind of bummed out at, and that's the fact that this team is playing like they have never played before, and he's missing out on these opportunities to play alongside these guys who are on a roll. And so that's kind of what is frustrating, is that he wants to be out there with a really fantastic team approach. And he'll get there, and we love him, you know what I mean? And, you know, yeah. I believe in the Warriors because I see what's on the squad now, right?
Yeah, and look, they do. They're playing that style of basketball, and I think you're right. I think that's part of what makes Klay so upset. I mean, it's also just been so damn long. I mean, the day count is around 600 days since he's been able to play in an NBA game. That's his job. That's what he does. Like, the guy is just frustrated. But putting that aside, you're not hearing the yeah buts here. I mean, I think we both just said, you know, this week is going to go a long way to determining who the best team in basketball is. So there's no yeah, but. The Warriors are arguably the best team in basketball, and they have a chance to make that argument even stronger tomorrow night. One more from the phones before we get to the break here. Denise in San Francisco. What's up, Denise?
Thanks for taking my calls. I am truly a believer in what the Warriors have done so far, but what does concern me is that the Warriors five, I'm concerned about the rebounding, and if I was a team going after the Warriors, such as Phoenix, I would take them down low in the paint. I would use my big men and my length, and I would wreak havoc in the paint. How do you think the Warriors will counteract that? Thank you for taking my call.
Ray, you want to start off on that one?
I think they'll do what they've been doing. I mean, they've been a very good rebounding team because, in part, they're very good at chasing down long rebounds.
Yep.
They are who they are in terms of height. They're not going to be a physically imposing team, not until James Wiseman, A, returns, and B, returns at an effective level. But they get more than their share of rebounds based on the fact that they are quick and they know where to go when a shot goes up. So there's more than one way to skin that particular cat. Where they are at a disadvantage is when they play a team that wants to operate down low. And in the modern NBA, there's almost no team that wants to do that.
And so, DeAndre Ayton isn't really doing a ton of that.
No. I mean, the Warriors' weaknesses are ones that they can fairly easily hide. I mean, they used to be a team that fouls a lot. They're down at least a foul and a half from last year and at least that from 2019, which was their last good team. They're better defensively than I think that this might be their best defensive team just because they can do more things to disrupt another team's offense in the modern game than they did even in 15 or 16 when they were when they were elite defensive teams.
Yeah.
I mean that's where they get it all back. It's they're not bad as a rebounding team and they defend much better.
Yeah. They are as good a defensive team as they have ever been, and that's down to Draymond Green being tremendous, but also those peripheral pieces all playing really good defense. There really is not a defensive weak link on this team, and by the way, Steph's playing pretty well on that end of the floor as well. We will get back into Warriors later in the program for sure. Coming up around 5 o'clock, some more Warrior talk. But next, we go back to football because we will be joined by a Hall of Famer. And it'd be silly to talk basketball with Michael Irvin. We're sponsored by AC Transit. Find a career with great benefits and work-life balance. And do what you love. AC Transit is hiring bus operators now. Paid training is provided. Join their team and keep the East Bay moving. Apply today at actransit.org/careers. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, joins us next. Matt Kolsky in for Damon Bruce. It's Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
We are back. It is Damon and Ratto. Matt Kolsky in for Damon, who is under the weather today. Hopefully healthy enough to give it a go tomorrow. We shall see. We're expecting a visit from Michael Irvin any second. Any second now. Lucas is dialing him up as we speak. But in the meantime, Marcus in Oakland still hanging on from last segment. No, he is not. I've just been informed Marcus in Oakland is gone. Thanks for that, Marcus in Oakland. And also back in the studio. Great work, everybody.
I thought he raised Ratto. Some incredibly salient points there.
Look, Marcus had some interesting things to say. For what it's worth, what the guys wrote on the sort of call screener system we have going here is 74-8. So what do you think, Ray? 74-8?
Dumbest thing they've ever typed.
All right. Well, I guess...
In all seriousness, I mean, first of all, the Warriors have learned that the regular season record doesn't get you anything if you don't win the 16th postseason game.
I don't know, secondly, Ray. I was told they were chasing wins. They're chasing wins this year, Ray.
No, they were chasing wins last year, remember?
No, they weren't chasing wins
last
year.
Oh, that's right.
Year.
Oh, now they're not chasing 74. And if they try to get 74, they're morons. I mean, just they don't have – 65 will be more than sufficient.
Oh. Marcus has called back. Let's see what he was going to say about 74-8. Marcus, it's your turn, buddy. I want to know. You're saying the Warriors are 74-8. Have you played out the whole schedule? Have you gone through it game by game?
65 is efficient, but they're going to do more than that.
Okay.
Why does that matter?
It's going to be 74-8. That's my prediction. It's going to be 74-8. I'm telling you, man, they can do it. They're going to do it. They're going to break that record, that 73-9, and they're still going to win a championship.
Okay. Do you have anything specific that makes you such a firm believer in that?
Oh, man, my gut feeling. The same feeling I had when they won the first championship in 15. When they acquired Andre Iguodala the first time, I knew they was going to win the championship. And they went, and they went, and they won that year. So that same gut feeling I got is the same one I got right now. They're going to go 74-8, man. Ain't nobody can't beat this team, dude. I don't know why these cats trying to underdog this team and underline them and, you know, try to count Curry out, man. Look, dude, whoever put this team together, they're doing a good job, and it's beyond that. Can't no team fade the Warriors right now, and they all know it.
Thank you, Marcus. Man. I appreciate it. Ray, it's his gut feeling. Don't see how you could argue with that. And, Lucas, could I get a give Bob some credit, please? Grandy? Yeah, whenever you're ready. We got to give Bob some credit.
Attention. It doesn't. Just God.
Hey, can somebody give Bob some credit?
Thank you. How do you feel about Marcus's gut feeling, Ray?
Good for him for having one. You know, it's just chasing empty calories. We've seen what this what the regular season record means. There have been 20 teams that have gone 18-2 to start a season. Of those, of the other 19, because this is the 20th, only 8 have won a championship, and the others become immediately forgotten. So 74-8 is just exertion they don't need to expend. The exertion starts with game 83.
How many teams total?
19 plus this one. So 19 that have
completed
a season.
So this is the 20th?
Right.
This is the 20th team. And does that include – a few teams have been better than that, right?
Yeah, no, 18-2 or better.
Okay, so that's everyone who's gone 18-2 or better. And what you're saying is that 8 of 19 have won the championship. So your odds are like almost 50%?
Yeah, it's good for you. Here's a trophy that lasts just as long as the one in 16 did.
Hey, that's pretty good is all I'm saying. The odds are pretty good. Speaking of which, we get to go to certainly our best guest of the day, the playmaker himself. Michael Irvin joins us right now. Michael, Damon is out sick today, a little under the weather, or he's just still nursing a Thanksgiving hangover. It's hard to say for sure. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. And listen, there have been a few guys kind of getting sick. And you know, we had some guys on the set today that were not feeling good. And, you know, we're all asking, like, is this more of, like, COVID or coughing? No, but it wasn't that. It's more of like a diarrhea thing.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if that's what D's dealing with. And if he is, you know, we pray that he's going to be all right. It's all that stuff in his body. It's just all that old man leaves his body.
He's got a cold, Michael, but he's been tested and he says it's not COVID. So hopefully he'll be all right soon.
There's a cold, but he says not COVID. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, not COVID. All right, so let's just go straight off of what we saw yesterday from the Niners. They're on a three-game win streak right now. And I just want to know, for you, what is the biggest difference between the Niner team that we saw at the beginning of the season that couldn't beat a good team to save their lives, and the Niner team we've seen the last few weeks that's looked pretty darn good?
And getting back to what you knew and thought the team would be, you know, and I think it's a couple of things. First of all, and this is one thing we're talking about on First Take Day, every team is built with the little flaw in it. Every team. And AFC teams and NFC right now, every team has a little flaw, right? You know, and every team gasses off of one element. Like the Cowboys gas off Dak Prescott in the offense. San Francisco gas off the run game. As when you have the running game going and your defense playing and you're asking Garoppolo, hey, just give us a good clean 240, 250. That's all we need. We don't need you to light it all up. We don't need you to throw it all around the house. Just give us a clean game, you know. That's the formula for San Francisco winning. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I had Philadelphia, those last few spots over there in the playoffs, I got to run down to the wire with Philadelphia and San Francisco for that playoff spot.
Why Philadelphia? What makes them stand out in your mind where the other nine teams in that mess don't?
Right. Well, first of all, the schedule is so favorable for Philadelphia. Second of all, like San Francisco, and that's why I throw both in there, you got the basis of making that makes a good team the base. You can always win with the base. What is the base? A run game. You can always win if you can run the football. And both has a base that can always give you something. Because if you can add anything else to this base, ain't no telling where you can go. You know what I'm saying? You got great teams that have explosiveness and but they don't have that base. And you wonder, whenever you take away Buffalo's explosiveness and they don't have this base, where do they go? So that base is what teams like San Francisco has. That base is what Philadelphia has. That base is why Lamar Jackson can throw four interceptions and still win a damn game.
Go ahead, Ray.
No, I was going to just follow up on that because it seems like there are fewer elite teams this year than normal, more bad teams than normal, which means that anybody between 3 and 12 in either conference is a genuine, significant playoff contender as opposed to just somebody who's hanging around. As you look at the 49ers and what they've done in the last 4 weeks, do you see them heading toward elite status, or does an injury like the one to Deebo Samuel make them ordinary again?
Oh, man. And I'm telling you, that right there says something. That is the injury to Deebo Samuel. And that's the flaw, and that's the issue with every team. If the wrong person goes down, the team can be in trouble. You know what I mean? The team can just be in trouble. Now, you said something. You said, you know, there seem to be a number of bad teams. There's no such thing as bad teams in the NFL. There's some very good teams and some less performing teams, but all of them are bad boys because everybody that plays in the NFL was a star somewhere in their life on their other teams. They just couldn't come and be a star here. So there's no bad team. They're flawed teams. And yeah, as long as you got that base, you can work around some of the flaws that you see on the NFL field.
I feel like there's good teams, there's not as good teams, and there's Detroit, but we can save that for another time.
That's different. That's different. Hey, listen, and you bring that up. That's what I was saying to Ryan Clark today. I was saying that to Ryan Clark today, dude, because I was saying, man, when I watched Pittsburgh yesterday, you know what I saw? I was like, wow, I saw that before. You know, where you've dominated a group so long, or you've dominated people for so long, like Pittsburgh dominated Cleveland and dominated Cincinnati. And then you get to that place where those teams are no longer afraid of you. They're no longer scared of you. And Cincinnati having a great time as they beat you down. I felt that pain when Arizona beat us in the playoffs. Arizona, I mean, we beat Arizona. It was play stuff. And then we found ourselves. And I remember saying, whoa, this thing is really over. Even they are not scared of us anymore. You know what I'm saying? I felt that's what Pittsburgh was going through yesterday as Cincinnati had that ball beating them down.
Let me go back to your playing days quickly, because I have been curious about Kyle Shanahan this season, and I don't know if it's in my head or not, but it feels to me like there was a time early in the season when the offense just wasn't working, and it felt like, as a play caller, he had just kind of lost his mojo. And now he seems like a guy who's back to being the Kyle Shanahan play caller that I know and love, who's got wide receivers running by themselves with nobody within 3 or 4 yards of them, and the offense really thriving. The run game looks great. Is it possible? I mean, you had some great play callers in your day. I mean, Norv Turner as an example. Do play callers get hot? Do they get in a groove or out of a groove? Is that a real thing, or is it in my head? It's just players.
Well, there's some degree of a groove and not in a groove. Absolutely, there's some of that. But what happens is when the groove commingles with the confidence, you see what I mean? Like, oh, man, the play caller's in a groove, and, boy, everybody now is getting confidence about their game. You're seeing some of that in New England. And I say whenever you start winning and winning on a deep enough level, then levels are affected. So I get role players that become big-time players. I get big-time players that start playing like stars. I get stars that turn into superstars, and then you get people like me and Emmett and Troy who are triplets that go on to iconic states. Everybody moves the level up. And so I look at New England and say, well, okay, where is that level move? And I see a guy like Bourne. I said, man, this dude is moving a level up. You see the plays he's making. And you know what I mean? So, yeah, over there, but calling the right plays, but he's grabbing that confidence. And the same thing in San Francisco. Yeah, you're calling the right plays, but you're in the groove calling the right plays, but each play that's getting called is giving the players more and more confidence, and it becomes an avalanche. That's how this thing happened. That's why I always say to you guys, it's great to understand what you are shoulders down, but I want to know where the team is shoulders up, because that is going to tell me if we can go on a run or not.
Toward what you're talking about with confidence, the 49er offense seemed to find its confidence once they started using Samuel as a frequent running back, or you know, at least giving him, you know, 6 to 8 to 10 running plays a game. Is it as simple as that? It's just something clicked and then all of a sudden everything else fell into place? Or is it usually a more complicated process than that?
Well, it's a lot more complicated than that. You know what I mean? Finding that right groove and then pressing the button on that right groove is what Kyle Shanahan is trying to do. And that's why Deebo Samuel missing, it hurts a great deal. Because, you know, at some point, you got to say, okay, everybody in the locker room got to feel we're doing the right thing. We're doing everything we can to win. Everything we can to win. So some of those guys have thought about, man, why don't we just let Deebo Samuel play running back? We need him before he even got there. And then you get there and they start having success, and that becomes the snowball. That becomes the one. I'm telling you, these things must feed each other. They are not separate of each other, but they must feed each other, and that's how a team gets a great groove, man, to do something.
Two things that happened in...
We were doing this. When I talked about Deebo Samuel, what did I say when I talked about Deebo Samuel last week? I said, if Kyle Shanahan wanted to, he could put him fresh in the middle of the MVP race because he can use him in both ways. And like they do with Cordero Patterson, but this is a different stage. And man, I mean, it's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal phenomenally gifted, talented kid, man. And I just love watching him. I just love watching him. And how long are they saying? What are they saying about this? How long have they been? If you guys
a week or two, it sounds like. It sounds like just a week or two. So hopefully just a week, and he'll be back soon. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be a long-term thing, which is obviously good news. Michael Irvin is our guest, the playmaker himself. And I have two specific events from yesterday I want to ask you about, both of them involving Kirk Cousins. First of all, have you ever seen a center or a quarterback line up under right guard? And second of all, when you see a receiver like Justin Jefferson basically, I don't know, showing up, staring down his quarterback, what do you think about that for a second-year wide receiver and a veteran QB?
Wait, let's back up, man, because you broke up a little bit on that question. You asked about Kirk Cousins. You asked about have I ever seen what?
Have you ever seen a quarterback line up under right guard? Did you catch that yesterday? Okay.
Question number one, answer is yes. Absolutely. Oh. Troy Aikman lined up under right guard his rookie year. Absolutely. Troy Aikman came out, oh, my God, this is where we are right now. But now, listen, I didn't take it in your rookie year. I can't take it after I paid you $200 million. Come on, dude. You know what I'm saying? In your rookie year, that's one thing. You got all kind of nerves going on here. But after I paid you $200 million, that's a bad thing right there, man. That's a bad thing.
So, secondly, when you see Justin Jefferson, you know, throw an on-field tantrum, and if that's too harsh, I mean, he definitely was upset at his quarterback on television. Is that something that are you mad at the receiver? Do you think it's look the quarterback's got to be better? Where does blame fall here?
Let me give you insight. And I don't know if I assess it as blame, but I'll talk reality. Jerry Sullivan is a wide receivers coach. The first guy that took me out of the ghettos of Fort Lauderdale, man, and helped me get to a skills camp in Indiana. It's the first time I really went anywhere. We drove from Fort Lauderdale to Indiana. And in order to pay for that, when we got back to Fort Lauderdale, we had to work on the beaches scraping wallpaper off all of those condos, all these hotels on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Dude, let me tell you something. I was like, man, I ain't need to go on this trip. I'm up here all day scraping, and I just got a little piece. It's just you scrape all day, and it's just like a little card is gone. I'm like, this is all we got? That means you scrape. You know, hey, I was saying up there as a kid, I said, man, this ain't right, man. I want to be down there. I'm just telling y'all because y'all family. And it was just me. It was me and two other athletes. And I saw all the rich white people down at the pool. I said, I don't want to be scraping this stuff. I want to be down there with them rich white folks. I ain't going to live like this all my life. You know, and I'm telling you, to her, I'm telling you to talk about, man, that competitiveness and that desire. When I met with Jerry Sullivan a couple of days ago, because I always call him, he coached Justin Jefferson. He coached Jamar Chase. He had him as kids. You know what he said to me? He said, Michael, I remember I found you in Fort Lauderdale. He said, I'll never forget that kid, how competitive that kid was, and how bad that kid wanted to get out of the ghettos of Fort Lauderdale. Mikey said, in all my years, I've never run into another kid as competitive as you until I met Justin Jefferson. I said, okay. That made me love this kid because he said, no matter what, this kid wants to win. Now, if I had a chance to talk to him, which I would try, I would tell him this. Son, I can appreciate your fight. I know whatever you've gone through to put that fight in you must have been hard because I know what I went through to put the fight in me. But, son, the only way that fight is a great asset is when you know who to fight with it. And the quarterback ain't the right dude because he got to throw that damn ball to you. You want him to throw the ball. You don't ever want – I don't care if the ball falls in front of you 5 yards. You just put it down to, hey, that's on me. You just keep throwing it. I'll get to the next one. You don't want to stop him from throwing the ball. That's what I would tell him. I want to fight, and I want you to fight like that. But just not that dude right there, because that's where you get that's the butter on your bread.
This may never have happened to you, but I wonder if you saw in your time, either as a player or since you've retired, guys who got talented guys who got frozen out by a quarterback because of situations like that. And if so, who?
It happens. It happens. I don't know how you qualify. Or call it out as evidence that you can put on the judge's table and call it People Exhibit 101. You know, I know enough about court to know that's what they call it when they have evidence against you. The government calls it the People Exhibit. People Exhibit right here, y'all. But it happens. It really happens. Because the reality is, we're all human, man. We're all human. And don't fool yourself. Why do you think Stephon Diggs left Minnesota? Why do you think Stephon Diggs left Minnesota? One of the things I was worried about, and I'm going to share this with you, is Odell going to L.A. Because from what I've heard, I know Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford sit down and have breakfast and lunch. You remember when Terrell Owens was talking about Tony Romo and Jason Witten always having lunch, and he wants to be in those lunches? Absolutely, those thoughts run through your head, and absolutely it happened.
Quickly, before we let you go, Michael, obviously anytime someone hears the name Michael Irvin, they think about the Dallas Cowboys. After what you've seen the last few weeks, look, this team's going to win the division, but are they going to be a real contender or just a team that wins the division because the division stinks?
It'll be just like San Francisco, just like you guys. How healthy are we when it's time to fight? That's just what it comes down to, man. Let's stop playing around. And, dog, since it's that coming down to that all the way around, that lends more credence to when I went south on everybody about being vaccinated. This thing's coming down to how healthy are you when it's time to fight. And you got to remove every possibility of being non-healthy. You see what I'm saying? And right now, we got superstars. Amari, guys didn't remove that possibility of being non-healthy, and now they're non-healthy at crucial times, and it has hurt the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep. Michael Irvin, ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure, always a great conversation. Have a great week, Mike. They'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week, too, man. God bless you guys. And I'm not talking about Coach Mike McCarthy and all that, because I know he's vaccinated. If you vaccinated, you've done everything you can. Ain't nothing you can do about that. You know what I'm saying. So I know we just got that breaking news today, but that's what I was talking about the last couple games. All right, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Mike. And no, you're right. If you do everything you can, so be it. But if you haven't, it's something you've failed to do that could have helped your team. All right, Ray, we've done all Niners and Warriors so far today, and there will be more Niners and Warriors coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But coming up next, as you may know, there have been a lot of other pieces of breaking news. Baseball, a little bit of hockey, all sorts of crazy stuff going on, and we're going to move through it as quickly as we can right after this break. It is Damon and Ratto. I'm Matt Kolsky in for Damon Bruce today, and we are presented by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
We are back, Damon and Ratto, except I'm Matt Kolsky. I'm in for Damon today on the radio, on the Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. We're everywhere, Ray. I'm very excited. I haven't turned the light behind me on in a while for the Twitch and YouTube people. Check me out.
You trying to give him an epileptic fit?
it's happy hour somewhere, Ray. I'm turning on the old style light. Boom. In fact, it's basically happy hour here.
It's always happy hour there. In the playground of your mind.
No, that's true. Yeah, in my garage studio, it is happy hour all the time. We like to say it makes it feel like it's 72 degrees in your head all the time. That's my only Kids in the Hall reference for the day, I promise. First, I have to tell you, all that, you know, let me let you behind the curtain a little bit. I'm filling in today. A lot of responsibilities, advertisements, reads, etc. And I made the studio happy in this break. I myself was like, look, I'm going to do this read. I'm going to get something done for the show. And as soon as we came in, I started talking nonsense about my old style light, and I totally forgot what we were doing. If you're looking to get the best Warriors content, all the best Warriors content from 95.7 The Game, it's easy. You just text Warriors to 20357. That's Warriors to 20357. Make sure you hit the subscribe button in the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. All the best Warriors content. Text Warriors to 20357. More Warriors talk in 10 or 15 minutes. But first, we're going to take it back to a little segment I used to do on my early morning show way back in the day. Because we got a lot of different news to cover. We're going to try to do it quickly. We're going to pick up the pieces. This song, of course, is Pick Up the Pieces by the Average White Band. And that's all this segment is, really, is an excuse to play this song that I like very much. But also, Lucas is going to run us through a few of the biggest sports items of the weekend. There was a lot going on. Lucas, what do you got?
Well, as Mark closes the door behind me, appreciate you, Grandy. The biggest story of the weekend has nothing to do with professional football, baseball, basketball, any of it. It's the fact that the University of Southern California is back, baby. Lincoln Riley made the decision. He came to save USC. We don't know the contract details, but it's going
to
be like...
He came to save USC, Ray. Did you hear that?
This has already gone off the rails.
Oh, we're
go
just
ahead,
getting
finish,
started, baby.
Finish, Lucas.
My report. He has officially been announced. They have their press conference today. So Lincoln Riley coming from Oklahoma to USC. And as you reacted to, Kolsky, he's Superman, for all I'm concerned. He is here to save the USC program. It's obviously massive for SC. It's huge for the Pac-12. It's great for West Coast college football, and I think it's great for college football in general. He's going to change the entire landscape of college football, and I could go deeper and deeper. He's going to save the recruiting class.
Please don't.
There's going to be a lot, and it's awesome. It's a great day for USC. Honestly, it's the best day for USC football since Sam Darnold led us to a Rose Bowl win 4 years ago. It's one of the happiest days, really, in like 10 years. So it's
Randy, turn off Lucas's microphone. Ray, do you buy all that?
No. Just beat Lucas to death. Never mind the microphone.
All right, just give me a minute. I'll get on that right now.
I can tell you about Relique Brown, who he's going to flip from Oklahoma, 5-star running back.
Don't tell us about Relique Brown.
Grandy, get on this now. I want to hear the sound of a bat hitting a melon.
All I'll say is I'm not scared as an Oregon fan. Go Ducks.
Malachi Richardson. Look out. All right. Number one quarterback next year.
How much does it really change the landscape, Ray?
The national landscape? Almost not at all. The West Coast landscape? Maybe some. But first of all, it's going to take more than 2 years to change what ails USC. And I don't know that Lincoln Riley's going to be there for more than 2 years.
Wow.
I mean, I think he's going to end up getting lured to another job. I mean, it's just...
An NFL job specifically?
An NFL job. He could reassess what the SEC is like because, you know, Nick Saban's 70. You know, he's not going to be at Alabama forever. And at that point, that whole thing becomes up for grabs again. It's not all of a sudden going to become Georgia's conference. I mean, I don't believe that Lincoln Riley is a long-term stay at SC. And the other thing is, it's not like the days of old when there was an SC and then a void. You know, Oregon is there, and Oregon's going to be there, even if Mario Cristobal leaves. In fact, by the way, Washington today just hired Kalen DeBoer, the head coach at Fresno State, to be their new head coach.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's clear sailing for SC the way it used to be, because in the years that USC let this thing go fallow, every good team in the country started recruiting LA like crazy. SC's greatest days were when they were the first choice of every player in the greater LA area. That's no longer true.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the question for me, is the way USC becomes the USC that Lucas thinks it is if Lincoln Riley can once again make them the number one choice for every LA recruit. And I don't know. I'm not convinced he can do that. Anything else we can break your heart over,
well,
Lucas?
Well, I want to react to a couple of the things that Ray said.
Please don't.
No one pilfered the LA area better than Lincoln Riley around the country, whether it's Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney coming in from Clemson stealing DJ Uiagalelei. Like, they got one-offs. No one went into LA and took the prospects from LA, from SC, better than Lincoln Riley. And he brings a lot of those guys with him. SC already had a top five recruiting class going into this next season. He's going to take a couple of five stars with him. Right away, this whole thing changes, right? And to change the idea and the brand of USC, the wish list for USC fans was, I mean, whether it was realistic, it was Nick Saban and Dabo at the very top. Those two were never coming. The very next best option was Lincoln Riley. And as a USC fan, I was totally preparing myself for someone, a retread, someone like Jeff Fisher, someone like Jack Del Rio, a former Trojan, right? That's what SC does, is keep it in the SC family. This is a home run, and USC has been known for hitting singles over the last 5-10 years. So it's a completely different day, whether it's just in my head, but I would tell you that most people around the conference and around college football see this differently. And Lincoln Riley was expected to go to LSU. He was the number one guy. And my question for you, Ray, is if he was going to go to the NFL, which he very well might, why wouldn't he go now? Why wouldn't he have gone last year? Like, the jobs were going to be there.
Where's the great vacancy in the NFL? I mean, if he'd gone to Jacksonville, he'd die like a dog the way Urban Meyer is. I mean, when you've got a choice of jobs, you know, you can wait for a good job to open in the NFL. And some of them will. You know, they haven't opened. They didn't open in this last cycle. And I don't think they really opened in the cycle before that either.
There might be a couple coming up.
Maybe, but they're not open till they're open.
The Jets?
Fair enough.
That's
the Jets? Oh, God almighty. If you take the Jets job, what you're saying is, I don't want to be a coach ever again. Robert Saleh's next job is going to be midnight to 8 at Costco because the Jets have destroyed him.
I love Robert Saleh. Let's leave him alone. What else we got, Lucas?
Okay, so we don't get to talk anymore about USC and how this changes everything? All right, let's talk baseball.
You realize you've taken up almost the entire segment with your USC nonsense?
Tried to tell you that this is the biggest story in sports, and you know what?
It's not, though.
You guys don't care.
That's right.
And we'll reconvene in a couple years when we're lifting okay. Heisman trophies.
If I'm still doing this in a couple of years, shoot me.
Didn't say it had to be on air, Ray. Just give you a call. But you know what? Remember what you said about Link. Anyways, let's talk baseball.
You better believe Ray is changing his number the day he stops doing this radio show. He's not going to receive another call from you in his life.
I even just got a text from our boss, Matt Nahigan. Full curtains back. Let's move on. So that's what we're going to do. The baseball
hot... And normally he's wrong about that, but in this case, I support him entirely.
The baseball
Please
hot stove
on.
Is heating up. I'm trying to get us to baseball. Ready? Here are the cliff notes from the weekend. Kevin Gausman became too expensive for your Giants. He agreed to a 5-year, $110 million deal with the Blue Jays. The Rangers have a new and very expensive middle infield. Corey Seager signed a 10-year, $325 million contract. They also brought in Marcus Semien, former A, former Blue Jay. 7 years, $175. So the Rangers just spent $500 million on the middle of their infield for the next 7 years plus. The Rangers also signed John Gray, a guy we know here in the NL West very well from the Rockies. Cole Calhoun also played many years in the West. All four guys going to the Rangers there. Max Scherzer finalizing a 3-year, $130 million deal with the Mets. I don't believe that's final yet, but they're working out the kinks in that one. The Mets also signed two former A's, Starling Marte and Mark Canna. A couple other notes over the weekend. The Mariners traded for Adam Frazier from the Padres, a little bit under the radar. Some people might have missed that one. And they signed AL Cy Young Award winner Robbie Ray to a big 5-year, $115 $1 million deal. Two loose ends that happened during the show. Not sure if you guys saw these. Kirby Yates to the Braves, Daniel Hudson to the Dodgers. The Dodgers brought someone back. They were losing everybody else. Of all of those deals, guys, what stands out to you?
The fact that tomorrow is going to be the end of the CBA. And we're going to, the reason why all these signings are happening now is because tomorrow the lockout starts.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that is the backdrop to all of this. This feeding frenzy is all about having as many ducks in a row as possible in case this is a long lockout. And I have a feeling it might be.
Agreed. And before I say more, welcome everyone to your 5 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.